The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm Benjamin Shapiro, the executive producer of the MarTech Podcast, and today we've got a special episode for you, which is going to be guest hosted by Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter. Juan is a recovering MarTech consultant turned creator who writes an amazing weekly newsletter about the MarTech industry, and I'm thrilled to invite him and some of his friends to take the mic and share their knowledge with you, our loyal MarTech Podcast listeners. All right, here's a special episode of the MarTech Podcast, guest hosted by Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter.
Well, welcome back, MarTechers. My name is Juan Mendoza. I'm from the MarTech Weekly Newsletter. I'm your guest host today on the MarTech Podcast. Today, we're going to discuss safeguarding creativity and web traffic in the age of AI. Joining me today is the very smart, very intelligent, very handsome Mark McCollum. He's the Executive Vice President of Innovation at Raptive. It's a new kind of creator economy company on a mission to really empower creators and their independence. They offer revenue, audience, business solutions, and much more guidance for creators and enterprise publishers. Yesterday, Mark and I talked about protecting creators from AI-powered copyright infringement and what Raptive's doing with their creatives, and then more philosophically about the problem of regulation in a very fast-moving, very dynamic industry. But this episode, we're going to dive into something a bit more practical, which is Google's first foray into generative AI in the experience and consumer application, which is Search Generative Experience, SGE. We might have to use that algorithm around a little bit because it's a bit of a mouthful. But we're going to talk a bit about SGE and website traffic, what it means for creators, and what are the opportunities and risks for creators wanting to actually step into that. So here's our conversation with Mark McCollum, the Executive Vice President of Innovation at Raptive. Mark, welcome back. Thank you for joining us again for part two of our conversation around generative AI and content creators.
Juan, I'm happy to be back. Thanks for having me again.
We love it. Okay, so let's go into this and talk a bit more about the practicalities of interacting with SGE, Search Generative Experience. Can you give us a bit of an overview of what that actually looks like? How does it work? What's the experience?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So SGE, as you noted, is an acronym for Search Generative Experience. It's Google's new search product that they've built, and they've rolled it out in beta. So it's not rolled out to general availability yet, but it's in a beta. It's been in a beta for maybe about 9 months, and that beta is available to the public for testing. So anybody can go to the Google Labs website and sign up for it. Encourage anybody to do that so you can learn more about the future of search. Fundamentally, the search landscape is something that I imagine all of your listeners are familiar with. You go to google.com, you enter a search query. In today's experience, you get a set of search results that we fondly call the 10 blue links, because historically there were 10 blue links from the top publishers on the web that had the most relevant answers, according to Google's algorithm anyway. Over time, that's evolved. Sometimes they give different orders or may have things like people like you also ask this. But generally speaking, it's still the same concept of the 10 blue links. And in SGE, the new search experience that's in beta, rather than showing those 10 blue links, Google is using its AI solution that it's built to give an AI-generated answer. It's usually about, I don't know, a screen full of content that is Google's AI version of its answer to your query. Like we were talking about in yesterday's podcast, it's content that's not attributable to an individual source. There's no specific citations, or there are rarely citations unless the user prompts for one. So the user won't know the source or the accuracy of the content that's being provided. Let me just give you an example. So if I go to Google, let's call it today's Google, and I type in, my child is showing symptoms of anxiety, what should I do? In today's Google, you're going to get links to experts, whether it's the CDC or various psychology websites, or even some of Raptive's creators who are parenting experts or health experts who will give advice, often medically approved advice, around how to diagnose or handle a kid that has anxiety, which is a pretty high stakes thing if you're a parent. You compare that to Google's SGE, where in the beta version today, you get an AI-generated answer, so basically a robot, on how to deal with a pretty important issue for your child. Other examples may be the best way to plan for retirement. Again, very high stakes. In today's world, you get experts. In tomorrow's world, it may be a robot. You can imagine the challenge that could provide to a user who was looking for expertise. Now, the way that the Google product works in beta today is that under the SGE response, you still see some of those old blue links out to other digital publishers, experts like our creators. It may or may not be the same ones that are featured today. Again, it's algorithmically driven, but that's essentially what Google is building. Now, when you talk to Google, they'll say, listen, we're testing this. We don't know how or if we're going to roll it out, but we could imagine that given the competitiveness of the landscape around AI, that they want to be front and center and have good motivation to roll this out more broadly, potentially sometime this year. My team has done a really detailed analysis around this. We've looked at thousands of keywords that come into the Raptive ecosystem. So remember, we have 5,000 websites that we manage. So we have a pretty broad view of the impact of how traffic flows on the internet. And what we find is about 25% of search traffic into websites is at risk based on the way that Google currently has its SGE beta. Now, that could change over time. They can make improvements that may make that better, or they can make changes that may make it worse. But we're seeing about 25%. But what's interesting in this analysis is individual websites have really wide results. So some websites we're seeing can be as much as 2/3 of their search traffic that just gets obliterated because Google's, in today's world, listing them as a source and sending traffic their way. And in tomorrow's world, very well could be answering the question and not providing a reference or link to them anywhere near the search results. So from our perspective, that could put a lot of independent content creators out of business. 2/3 of search traffic is material. For most creators, that represents a large amount of traffic that comes into their ecosystem. Most of these creators make their livings through advertising. And if you're not getting the traffic, you're not displaying the ads and you're not generating the revenue, you can't sustain your business. So that's the risk that we see when it comes to SGE and the reason why we're so focused on it as an organization.
I can see the risks there. From your preliminary analysis there, 25% is a huge chunk. That would directly impact most creative businesses. They'd have to let go of staff, have to tighten their budgets, right? It's not a growth story anymore.
Well, and remember, many independent content creators don't even have staff, right? Like they're building a business that's just them. And in doing that, if they lose, call it a quarter of their revenue, that may put them in a position where they just can't continue to operate this as a business. It's no longer attractive to them.
Time for a one-minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on 2 channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to Mutinex.co. That's Mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview. A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co.
You mentioned earlier the 10 blue links, right, on the first page. Even now, it's not 10 blue links. It's 10 ads, and then maybe three blue links, you know, often depending on the keywords, how many ads you're getting. And, you know, it's fascinating to think about this historically as well, where Sergey Brin, Larry Page, when they penned the first thesis around Google search when they were at university, they said that the incentives of advertising will be increasingly degrade the user experience. And you kind of see this with ads just continue to roll up on search. And I would say that the search generative experience is something that I haven't seen any concrete proof yet that that actually will be the future business model for Google, because it actually would be more advantageous to them to actually list links, give people organic search traffic, and list those specific ad units on a page, as opposed to, that's what's happening now, as opposed to it being kind of jumbled into a query or being sort of put into some sort of context. It's very hard for an advertiser to control how that's working, but it's very easy for them to go, oh, this is how our ad is showing, displaying within a specific search result. And this is the content that we set for it. And so I look at this and I think that it doesn't seem very set that this will be the future of search. The incentives of advertising for Google's behalf, anyway, it just doesn't seem like it stacks up. But what do you think?
Candidly, I hope you're right, because the concerns that we have primarily around traffic flow into the open web would at least be neutralized if you are right. Perhaps you are. I mean, the point you're making around the commercial interest of Google's search ad business has to be top of mind for decision makers in that organization. Candidly, Google's a huge partner to Raptiv in our advertising business. And we, of course, want them to be successful. And we want them to help ensure that the open internet is successful. And based on people we've talked to there, in principle, they have similar interests. They also have commercial interests. And while the search ads business is highly efficient and has been incredibly attractive to marketers because of the ability to capture a user at a moment of high intent, because of the great effective measurability and all the other reasons we all know, what has to be evaluated is the value of that model versus being first to market with AI solutions that they've publicly stated they believe are the future of big media and information on the internet. So neither you nor I sit inside of Google, so we don't know what conversations they're having, but I can imagine that there are competing interests in a company that large and complex. One other thing to add, Juan, with respect to SGE and Google Ads, is we see Google testing in its SGE beta a lot of different variations of the search ads experience, including putting the search ads at the very top, and then the response second, and then the organic links far down the page. So there very well may be a solution where Google's ads business continues to thrive with secondary priority given to the AI-generated search, and then lower priority given to organic search and sending traffic to the open web.
The incentives stack up against it, though, even without the ad commercial advertising situation, just the sheer goodwill and trust that content creators and publishers have in Google search. If they see every single day that the SGE is just taking what content they have and sort of feeding it into a model where they get no visibility at all, I just see that not being a good incentive for people to create content for Google. It's again, it's one of those really challenging catch-22s where Google's screwed if they don't, screwed if they do, and it's very hard to discern which is the right path here and what is fair. And yesterday's conversation, we talked about IP rights and the challenges around this, but the incentives around SGEs just seem very hard to navigate. But I wanted to ask you, are you giving to creators and publishers right now? Are you asking them to sort of hold back or embrace it, or even set up their website or their content in order to be more receptive to SGE? How are you guys thinking about this and advising your own community of creators?
As you and I talked about yesterday, creators were not given the option of whether or not Google was going to take their information, their content, and their data and use it to train their models. So Google has done that. That has happened to the entire open web. And while creators now have the option to opt out, it, like we were saying yesterday, it's tied to Google search. So it's hard to incentivize anyone to totally opt out of that. So to answer your question, there's not a lot of choice right now that creators have, or things that they could do or not do to determine the extent to which they're going to win, I'll use that in air quotes, in an SGE experience. Because candidly, the biggest winner in the SGE experience is Google, because the ultimate outcome is that more traffic stays in the Google ecosystem versus moves from Google out to the open web. And when we look at the interest that any media company has, and include Google in this as a media company, it's keeping traffic in your own ecosystem. So that's what is likely to eventually happen. For independent content creators, the advice that we give them is the same advice we've always given them, which is focus on creating quality content that's differentiated. Because, you know, the more that you can build content that is high quality, that people want to engage with, that they want to come back to, where you're creating fandom. And fandom means people are going to come directly to your website and not come to you through a Google search, because they know you and they like you and they care what you think. Or they're going to subscribe to your newsletter and engage with you that way, and then make their way to your website through a newsletter link or because you're in their zeitgeist. That's the win for creators. And that's how we guide them. That's how we guide them today. And that's how we'll continue to guide them with SGE.
So good advice. I think there is a really good strong point here about how much Google is driving traffic within its own ecosystem. And that's not just something that happens randomly. That's actually part of a broader picture of third-party cookie deprecation and the sort of almost the closing down of data sharing across the web, which has led to a lot of individual creators be able to actually drive revenue through programmatic advertising and other things. So there is a bit of a background there around why Google would be incentivized to keep more people within their inner ecosystem. But yeah, it seems one of the things, it's one of those things that you can't really work on. It just happens to you when you need to respond as a creator. But I think what we've established from this conversation is that there's enough disincentives to say that this may not be the future of search, just as much as there are incentives for Google, at least. Probably not many for creators or advertisers at this point, but enough incentives for Google to say that this is something that they're seriously working on and wanting to bring to the general public. So, Mark, thank you for this fascinating, very interesting conversation, very important conversation right now, given just the stakes in which content creators are in and the risks that are coming to them with generative AI and how they should be preparing for it. Do you have any last advice for content creators before we wrap up for our second episode here on the MarTech podcast?
Content creators are the heartbeat of the internet. They each bring an individual passion, expertise, and excitement about the audience that they serve. We think AI is here to stay. We're excited about AI, but we want to make sure content creators are also here to stay. We think there's a world where both AI and content creators continue to thrive. We think that's a necessary world because one feeds the other. But to do that, there needs to be fairness. There needs to be ethical development of AI, and there needs to be compliance with law. That's what we're here to advocate on behalf of our creators, and appreciate you making the time for us today.
This has been absolutely fascinating, and thank you so much for sharing your insights. Highly recommend checking out Raptiv if you are a online creator. They're definitely thinking seriously about the future of the internet and how it should support creators. So thank you again. That was Mark McCollum, Executive Vice President of Innovation at Raptiv. Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to get in touch with Mark, you can find his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can also connect with him on Twitter, where his handle is Mark McCollum, or visit his company website at raptiv.com. Mark, thank you again for sharing your insights. We very much enjoyed it.
Thanks, Juan.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to our guest host, Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter. If you'd like to get in touch with Juan, you could find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter. His handle is Juan Mendoza, but it's spelled crazy pants. It's J-U-4-N-M-E-N-D-0-Z-4. Or it's a little easier to just visit his company's website, which is themartechweekly.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletters, and you can even send us your topic suggestions or your marketing questions, which we'll answer live on our show. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MARTECHPOD, on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Or you can contact me directly. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app, and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.